Let's pray, and then we'll get into our lesson this evening. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you, Father, for this book on 1 Timothy. And as we look through the rest of the pastoral epistles, may we glean some truth, and may we put these things into practice. Help us, dear God. Give us ears to hear and change our lives. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we saw how God expects us to treat widows indeed and what is expected of younger widows. Now we see Paul giving Timothy instructions on how we should treat church officers. We see that in verses 17 through 25 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, the instructions in this section deal primarily with the elders, but the principles apply to a pastor's relationship with other officers in the church. Now, apparently, Timothy was having some problems with the officers of the church at Ephesus. Now, Timothy happened to be a young man, and he still had plenty to learn. Perhaps some of them were despising his youth and thinking, you know, what do you know? You're still wet behind the ears. We've been at this thing a whole lot longer than you. Ephesus was not an easy place to minister. After all, the city of Ephesus had the Temple of Diana. And then furthermore, can you imagine following Paul as overseer of the church? And Paul was not an easy man to follow. Paul's farewell address to the elders in Acts chapter 20 shows how hard he worked and how faithful he had been and how much the elders had loved the Apostle Paul. Notice what is written in Acts chapter 20, verse 36 through 38. Acts chapter 20, verse 36 through 38. Here we read this. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, speaking about the elders at the church of Ephesus. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Now, in spite of the fact that Paul had personally sent Timothy to Ephesus, the young man was still having a difficult time. And Paul counsels Timothy in his relationship to the elders by discussing three topics. And the first topic he discusses is paying the elders. Paying the elders. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, in the early church, instead of just one pastor, there were several elders that ministered to the people. Now, these people would devote themselves to full-time work and serving the Lord, and therefore they deserve some type of salary. Now, there were two kinds of elders in the early church. There were ruling elders who supervised the work of the congregation, and then there was teaching elders who taught the Word of God. Now, these elders were chosen from the congregation based on God's call, the Spirit's equipping, and the witness and work of the men themselves. Now, you know what? They didn't look at this as a profession. It happened to be a calling. And you know what? So many people, they look at a pastor and they say, you know what? All he likes to do is eat chicken and he doesn't want to eat or doesn't want to work. Well, that's not the case. So many pastors may be lazy. But you know what? Not all pastors are lazy. I remember sitting in the pew when I first got saved and I thought, man, you know what? That's a pretty sweet gig. You get up there 3-4 times a week, you get off, get whatever's on your chest off, and you get to yell and scream, and you know, it's a great program for anger management. But you know, things changed when I got behind the pulpit for the very first time. And I thought, what a grave responsibility this is to stand behind the pulpit and proclaim God's word. It's not an easy thing to be a pastor. Yet so many people, they think, you know what? It's no big deal. It's an easy job. It is not. You know, Timothy was having a hard time at Ephesus. But you know, every godly pastor I know of has a hard time no matter where they're at. But notice, they're worthy of what? Double honor. Isn't that what it says? Paul told Timothy to be sure the leaders were paid adequately and it was based on their ministries. Now, he quoted an Old Testament law to prove this point. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. It says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out, what? The corn. Now, what the whole thing here is, you know, here you got an ox that's working. And you know what? He deserves to eat. And same thing with the gospel. Those who preach the gospel are supposed to live of the gospel. That means they're supposed to get paid for doing what a pastor is called to do. Then Paul adds the statement, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Reward, I should say. I'm used to saying that with what Jesus said, but it is reward. Now, if pastors are faithful in feeding and leading the people, the church ought to be faithful and pay them adequately. I'll never forget years ago, you know, I had to take pay cuts because there was not enough money coming into the church. And I remember for years and years, I did not get a raise. No one brought it up. No one said a thing. Did I ask for one? Never have, never will. But then I remember Joe coming in, back of my office one night, or one afternoon, and said, Pastor, he says, when's the last time you got a raise? I said, I have no idea. Now, Joe was a relatively new member at the time. And yet he was looking after his pastor. Crazy, isn't it? You know, year after year, everybody else got raises. But somehow the pastor gets overlooked oftentimes. That should never be the case. He's worthy of what? Double honor. You know what that could be translated as? Generous pay or honorarium. It's God's plan that the needs of his servants be met by the local church. And he blesses the church, that churches that are faithful to his servants in paying them. If a church is not faithful and its pastor's needs are not met, it becomes a poor testimony on that church. And God has a way with dealing with that situation. Oftentimes, and I found myself in this situation, that God provided through other means. I would take on other jobs, do side jobs, or do whatever it took to provide for the bills and the needs of my family. But you know what happened? The church misses out on the blessings. You know, and sometimes the servant of God just moves elsewhere where he'll be taken care of. Now, the other side of the coin is this. A pastor must never minister simply to earn money. It's not a profession. It is a calling. And he's not supposed to be in it for the money. Doesn't 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 say this? Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of what? Filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. You know, from my understanding, before I was asked to candidate here, there was some other people that were going to got their resumes in, and they were called. And I guess they were wanting what kind of package they were to receive if they would come and pastor here. They wanted to know how much vacation time. They wanted to make sure that they had health insurance, that they had benefits, all kinds of stuff. Now, I tell you what, if I was on a pulpit committee and those words came out of a person's mouth, I would say, you know what? You're not the guy for us. I wouldn't let him negotiate. I'd simply say, you know what? When you get here, we'll take care of you. Sometimes preachers go around looking for a bigger, better church where they can get more money. A preacher should never do that. Nor should they always, or should I say, even at times, get behind a pulpit and throw out their financial needs to the church, hoping that the church will help them out. I've been here for almost 30 years. Dennis been here all that long. You can ask him, has Pastor Rainey ever done such a thing? Never. Did he ever have needs? Oh, yeah. You bet he did. But I ain't going to throw it on out there. I always believed, you know what? God will take care of his man one way or another. Then next we see the disciplining of the elders. Notice verses 19 through 21. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. You see that? So if somebody accuses the pastor of some type of wrongdoing, you know what you ought to do? You ought to grab him by the arm, take him to the pastor.